Greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave his son to win. His erring child he reconciled and pardoned for his sin. O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure the saints and angels' song. When years of time shall pass away and earthly thrones and kingdoms fall, when men who hear refuse to pray on rocks and hills and mountains call, God's love so sure shall still endure, all measureless and strong. Redeeming grace to Adam's race, the saints and angels' song. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry. Nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure the saints and angels' song.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Good morning. How are y'all doing today? If you'll go ahead and start making your way to the book of John in chapter 10 and verse 27, the book of John. Before I got up here, Daryl looked over at me and was like, are you nervous? I wasn't until you asked. Thanks, Daryl. But no, I do want to keep the pastor in prayer. When he did call me, obviously you're not thinking that the coming Sunday you're going to be preaching, but it was a message that I'd already had and I was looking at. We were going to teach it to the teens tonight, or I was, and it's a two-part series, so I'm teaching one part now and the second part tonight, Taylor, so be there. But keep the pastor in prayer, and it's my honor to be able to help you out, Pastor. For you that are visiting, I heard it was Josh that's visiting over here. I'm not a pastor. I'm a police officer. But I did stay at a Holiday Inn last night, so we're going to make this thing work here. Let's turn here to the book of John, chapter 10, and 27 through 29 as our foundational verse as we get started here. And it's Jesus speaking, and it says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of their hand. Verse 29, My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." This morning we're going to talk about eternal security, and last week the pastor spoke concerning God's great salvation. So this really segues nicely from understanding God's great salvation to eternal security. So I have a question for you. Is there anything better than God's great salvation? And that's kind of a trick question, and I would say that, yes, it's having God's great salvation and knowing that you can't lose it. God's eternal security. This is not a denominational thing. Sometimes eternal security is looked at as denominational doctrine by the Baptist, while other denominations may talk about that you can lose your salvation. About 4 years ago, I was teaching on this subject right here, and it may have been a couple weeks after I had just finished, and a young man came to visit, and he was in his 20s, and he had a boy with him that was about 16, and when he got here Sunday night, he was walking around, and Ashley, I don't know if you remember this. Where's Ashley at? There you are, Ashley. You're up front. A boy came walking up, and she didn't know what he was looking for, so she brought him to the teen group. So as I was teaching, I mentioned in my message about how once you're saved, you cannot lose your salvation. So we were done, and they were leaving, and this boy walked up to me. He was in his mid-20s, and he said, that was a pretty good message, except you were wrong about not losing your salvation. I said, oh, really? He said, yeah, that's not right. You can lose your salvation. I said, well, show me in the Bible where you can lose your salvation and be saved again. And here's the key. He said, it's in the Bible. You know, where Jesus said, I never knew you. I said, you're talking about Matthew chapter 7. And that's actually a counterintuitive of what you're talking about there. It's saying that you cannot work your way into heaven, but it's saying he never knew him. It supports the understanding of eternal security. And because he never knew you, and I took him to some of these verses that I'm getting ready to take you. But the sad thing is, while I was talking, he was hanging on because he kept saying his church to what his denomination taught him, and he didn't want to hear about what the Bible said. So this morning, let's go past that. It doesn't make any difference what denomination you believe if it's not Bible-based. We are going to look at what the Bible says about eternal security because, number one, if the Bible says it, we ought to believe it. Amen. And if it doesn't, we have no authority to believe it. And we were talking about some of those denominational differences in Sunday school. So, eternal security is not denominational. It's biblical. So, what does the Bible say about eternal security? I'm going to hit on 3 points. We're going to look at 3 verses and then we'll close. Let's pray. Heavenly Father God, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for your love and mercy. We pray for the many of the physical needs that were brought up this morning. But God, right now I ask you to meet the spiritual needs of the people right here. God, I pray that the Holy Spirit would have freedom to move around and touch each heart as you see fit. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Number one, your salvation is secure because God's sovereign predestination. God's sovereign predestination. If you're saved, you are already predestined to be like the Son of God. This is deep theology, but let's look at it in the guise and understanding of eternal security. I want you to turn to Romans chapter 8 and verse 29. Romans chapter 8 and verse 29. As we get into this passage, this is a deep passage of Scripture. I want you to hone in on three words. If you mark, take notes, or if you mark words in your Bible, the first word there is for new. Look right there in verse 29. It's for no. Look at for no. Also look at the word predestinate in the middle of verse 29, and then at the very end of verse 30, glorified. So we're going to look at for new, predestinate, and glorified. Let's read this. Verse 28, it says, and we know that all things, I'm in the wrong one. Verse 29, and for whom he did foreknow. Well, let's stop there real quick. What does foreknow mean? It is he knew you, God knew you were going to be saved before you were ever saved. Now that's hard to get, but we need to understand that. But it talks about here, for whom he did foreknow. Before God swung this planet onto orbit and before it ever began turning, he saw you and knew you were going to accept his Son, Jesus Christ, as his Savior. He knew it. He's the ever-living God. He's the ever-present God. He is not restricted in time, present, future, past. He foreknew it. He saw it. And right here it says in verse 29, for whom he did foreknow, for those that he saw that would accept him as Savior, he also did predestinate. To be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. God has a plan for you, and that plan is right here in this verse. You're going to be like Jesus if you're saved. God looked before you were born and saw you accepting Christ. The Bible says, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate. Did you know, do you know what predestinate means? Now, a lot of people say a lot of things. I see Daryl back here, his eyes are already rolling back. It's 11 o'clock. We're talking about predestination. I told him he had to sit in the front row up here today. But it means that your destiny is already determined. This is key to understanding eternal security. So as we look at this, God says, I foreknew you. I saw you. That you were going to accept Christ as your Savior. And when that happened, and when I saw that, your destiny is already determined. And what's that destiny? You're going to be like Jesus. It means our destiny is already determined, and at salvation, you are predestined to be like Jesus. Question, if you're predestined to be like Jesus, will you be like Jesus? The answer is yes. If you fall, can that change your destiny? Is fall, make a mistake, sin? Will that change the destiny of God's understanding of the foreknowledge and predestination of your soul? No. What is foreknown in heaven cannot be annulled in hell. It's predestined. It is settled right there. Look again at verse 8, chapter 8 and 29 of my second point here. For whom he did foreknow, he knew you were going to be saved. Look at the very bottom there. In verse 30, them he also glorified. God already sees you glorified before it happens. He foreknew you. Therefore, you are predestinated. He predestinated that you will be like Christ. Therefore, he already sees you as glorified right now. We would expect it to say he will glorify, right? But that's not what it says. It's settled. It's determined. You are already glorified in Christ. God already sees you glorified before it happens because we live in history, but God lives above and beyond history. He is the I Am, the ever-present. You are glorified. And if that is true, and it is, obviously you're predestined to be like the Lord Jesus Christ. And you say, well, I don't feel glorified. There's many days that I don't either. But God's not finished with me, and he's not finished with you, and he has begun a good work in you, And he promises that he will finish it. So number one, eternal security. Your salvation is secure because of God's sovereign predestination. Number two, our eternal security is secure because of Calvary's perfect provision. Flip over to Hebrews chapter 10 and a wonderful little verse here. And when I first saw this a couple years ago, I just had to keep reading it and rereading it to get it in my mind. Turn to Hebrews chapter 10. As here, as I pointed out some key words in that last verse, I want you to hone in and maybe circle in verse 14 the word one and the phrase perfected forever. One and perfected forever. The Bible says here, for by one offering, He, the Lord, has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. Focus on the phrase perfected forever. Jesus Christ hung on that cross in agony, never to die again. He did it once. His one offering perfected forever those of us who were saved. Because of this perfect sacrifice, we have a complete perfection in the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you get saved, God doesn't just save you and give you a fresh start or just a new beginning and then you start taking the path on your own. That's not what's saying here. It's saying He gives you an eternal perfection by that one offering. Nowhere in the Bible can you find where anybody was ever saved twice. It's not in there. You can't find it. You couldn't find it any more than you could find where someone was born twice physically. It's not in there. You're born physically once, just like you're only born spiritually once. Because of that one offering, He has perfected us forever. It's a one-time event, and it's forever. When you got saved, you were stamped with a stamp that said, good for one salvation only. And that's good news, because that's all you needed. Was one salvation. It's forever. If you could lose your salvation, Jesus would have to die again for you to be saved again, because He only offered it once. But the Bible says it was forever. You're saved as many times as Jesus died. In Hebrews 10:14, a key verse here, it says, for by one offering He has perfected you forever. So not only are we eternally secure because of God's sovereign predestination, for whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate it settled, Romans chapter 8. We also had Calvary's perfect provision in there in Hebrews chapter 10, for by one offering we are perfected forever. And the third one here, we have a new position in Christ, the saints' new position. What is your new position when you become saved? When you get saved, it is in Christ Jesus, the Bible teaches. When I first heard about, you were talking about in Christ, in the body of Christ, sometimes I had a hard time understanding what they were trying to convey. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are becoming new. We have a new position with Christ. We are in Christ. There are only two representative persons who've ever lived. And we're part of one of those two people. We either are in Adam or we're in Christ. Those are the only two that we can be in. And in Adam, all die. That's where we are naturally born. When we come out of the mother's womb, we are naturally in Adam. But the Bible says when we trust and accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, we believe in Him, we are now in Christ, and we are now made alive because we are in Christ. Everybody is either in Adam or they're in Christ. If you're in Christ, that is your new position, and what pertains to Jesus pertains to you. If you're saved, you're in Christ. Now catch this, the only way you could lose your salvation would be for Christ to lose His relationship with the Father because you are in Christ. You can't, and that's not going to happen. He can't lose and separate from the relationship with God because Christ and God are one, the Trinity, the Holy Spirit involved. You are in Christ. That is an inseparable relationship. We are forever sealed and kept in Christ. You're a part of the body of Christ, and it is unthinkable that a part of the body of Christ could ever perish. It couldn't do it. Let me use an illustration, and this is one of the main reasons that I chose this part to go over this morning, is this here. I think this is a beautiful illustration. Flip over to Genesis chapter 7, all the way in the Old Testament. We're going to look at an illustration that is used in the Bible. Genesis chapter 7. As we say here, we're going to look at a little archaeology, A-R-K-E-ology here in Genesis chapter 7. Because God wants us to understand salvation, God gives us many illustrations. He gives us object lessons that are located in the Bible. And one of them here in Genesis chapter 7 is one of those. It's Noah's Ark is one of these object lessons in the Bible. And the reason I'm going to bring it up now is Peter tells us that Noah's Ark is a picture. It is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's 1 Peter chapter 3, 18 through 23. And since that's the case, let's see what kind of Bible scholar you are. And I'm going to tell you a story of the ark, and you check to see if I'm correct. Because remember, this story is a picture, it's a type of Christ, and it's a picture of salvation. The story is this correct? God looks down and tells Noah, the people are living, and it's a disgrace. They're very sinful. I'm going to destroy them all in a flood, Noah. Noah, I want you to build an ark. I'll give you the dimensions, and I'll show you how to build it. And after you build it, I want you to put pegs on the outside of the ark. We're going to put 8 of them. And as I put these pegs around, it will be one for you, one for Miss Noah, one for Shem, Ham, Japheth, and for your 3 wives. There'll be pegs. That'll be for you guys. So you build that ark, Noah, and when the flood starts, Noah, you get a stepladder, and you get up there, and you hold on to those pegs, Noah. And hold on tight, because, Noah, it's going to be a rough ride. Waves are going to come. You better hold on tight, Noah. And if you hold on till the water goes down, you'll be safe, Noah. So old Noah grabbed on one of those pegs. He looks back at his wife and he says, "Sweetheart, pray for me because I'm going to be faithful to the end." Now, is that the story of Noah's Ark? But that's how some people look at salvation, right? Yep. Just hold on. You've got to hold on till the end. You'll get there. But that's not what Noah's Ark, the story says here in Genesis, and that's not the picture of what God gives about salvation. That's not at all what happened. What did the story say? What did God tell Noah? It's found right here in Genesis chapter 7. God tells Noah to make an ark, and the Bible says in 7:1, "And the Lord said unto Noah, Come, thou and all thy house into the ark. For thee I see righteous before me in this generation." The key words I want to focus in on here is the word come into the ark. Noah, you come into the ark. Here's the key thing. He didn't say, Noah, go into the ark. He said, come into the ark. If I'm here and I say, Daryl, will you go to my truck and grab my set of keys? That would mean I'm here, he leaves me, and he goes. But if Daryl was outside and I said, hey, and I call him on the phone and I said, hey, Daryl, will you come into the church? Where does that mean I'm located if I ask him to come into the church? I need to talk to you. I'm here. I want you to come to me. I want to talk to you. So don't miss this. Where was God when he told Noah to come into the ark? He was in the ark. He was located in the ark. And had the ark gone down, God would have gone down, because God was in the ark and Noah was in the ark. His family was in the ark and the animals were in the ark. And the Bible says that the Lord shut him in, Genesis chapter 7 and verse 16. Why did God shut the door? Why was it that God did it and not Noah? Well, I think there's 2 reasons. He shut the water out, and he shut Noah in the ark. This is not a happenstance of the events that are recorded here in Genesis chapter 7. So as you consider the ark as a type of Christ, Noah and his family were in the ark. How safe was Noah? He was as safe as the ark. How safe was that ark when those waters come out of the mountains and the water came out of the sky and the waves beating upon it? How safe was that ark? It was the safest place in the most tumultuous and turbulent times that this world has ever seen up until present. Question. If you're saved, how safe are you? You're as safe as Jesus, who is your ark of safety. He said, come into the ark. He comes to you and says, come to me. Noah may have fallen down in that ark. He could have stumbled inside the ark. He could have messed up, but he was in the ark. He couldn't fall out of the ark because God shut him in the ark. And God sealed him in that ark. And the point that I'm trying to make is the Bible says that in the book of Ephesians, that after we were saved, we are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, Ephesians 1:13, just like Noah was sealed in that ark. And we are sealed into the Lord Jesus Christ. We have a new position in Jesus Christ. We are sealed in Christ just as Noah is sealed. And yes, we will fall. Yes, we will stumble, but we will never lose our position in Christ because we are sealed in Christ. That's good news. I don't know about you and where you are this morning, but some of you could not or possibly not saved. And what we're talking about here about being sealed is for those who have come to the point of understanding of their sin. They've come to the understanding of who Jesus Christ is and that He left heaven's best and He came down and He died, He was buried and He rose again. And the Bible says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And once that's done, you are in a new position. You are saved. You are predestined to be like Jesus Christ. You have accepted Calvary's perfect provision, and you have a new position in Christ. And if you have never done that, today I invite you and ask you when we go before here and have the invitation that you would come forward and talk to me or talk to the pastor, or we'll get you with somebody else that you can be assured of your salvation and not walk out of here lost. But there's other of you in here that say, Robbie, I have done that. I have accepted Christ. I believe in Jesus Christ. I trust Him as my personal Savior. But I must admit, there are times that I do have doubts. There are times that I do have struggles. There are times I've fallen and I don't feel saved. I've heard pastors say, oh, it's not a feeling. It's a fact. Once you have truly accepted Christ, He has you in your hand. And we must understand this. We must have the understanding of eternal security because without it, we would be a spiritual, psychological mess if you don't believe in eternal security. I wish that young man that I talked to several years ago when he left, he's always got to be wondering and walking on eggshells, am I saved today? I asked him, I said, well, what point do you become unsaved? What sin do you cross to where God would say, okay, you were saved, but you just did that, now you're unsaved. Is there a line? Is it any sin? He couldn't answer me. He couldn't even show me any passages in Scripture. And it's obvious he was searching that day. But he left holding on to a denomination and not biblical belief, and I pray that he's found it. I don't know your background, and I don't know where you are, but if you aren't saved, I pray that you'd come and get saved. If you are saved, and you're saved long enough, you will have doubts. You'll have fears, and you have struggles. I have. And I love coming back to these passages and hearing God's promises to me of my eternal security. It's all we've got. It's Jesus Christ. So as we closed, are you saved? If you're not, I pray that you'd come forward today. All we're going to do is just we'd walk you back and just talk to you and make sure that you understand the plan of salvation and give you the opportunity to believe in Jesus Christ. If you are saved, God wants you to know that you are predestined to be like Jesus. He foreknew you before He put this earth in the spin, and you are already glorified in His sight. And what God has done, hell cannot take away. You have Calvary's perfect provision. He gave one sacrifice. And He offered it to you to be perfected forever. Forever. Not temporarily. Not for a short while until you mess up. But forever. And you have a new position in Christ. And the next time you hear about in Christ, I want you to think about Noah getting in the ark. Not holding on to the side of the ark, but getting into the ark. And God closed the door and all the storm waters came and he was safe in the ark. There's times coming, if they haven't already, and we must know that Jesus has us in his hands. God gives us a great salvation, but he also gives us a great eternal security. Salvation is not something you earned, and there's nothing you can do to lose it because you didn't do anything to get it. So our confidence is in Jesus Christ. Adrian Rogers, who I will say that a lot of this material that I get on this stuff, rough outlines come from him. And he once said, "I wouldn't take the best 15 minutes I ever lived and put that down as my payment to get into heaven. I wouldn't do it." And he said, people ask me all the time, "Adrian, are you saved?" He said, "You know, you better believe in I am saved." And they say, "Well, Adrian, you're awful confident about that." And he says, "Don't know. It's not me. I'm not confident. My confidence is in Christ, and that's how I can proclaim and know that I am saved." Do you have that security? Do you have that understanding? Do you have that belief that it's all about Christ? As soon as you start looking at yourself and wondering, have you done enough? Is your faith good enough? Is it, have I been the Christian I ought to be? And your confidence starts turning to you, you're going to have doubts. But you look at what Christ did, realizing in self looking at the fact, have I accepted Christ as my Savior? Yes. Then my confidence is in Christ. And my walk will begin to walk the walk of Jesus Christ. Some denominations will say they don't want to teach eternal security because they'll say, well, it'll just give people the license to start sinning. Well, here's my answer to that. If you're saved this morning, you can. You can sin all you want to. And you won't want to. You're not going to want to sin. You'd rather eat dirt than sin because you are shaking your fist and grieving the Holy Spirit when you do. And when you realize the eternal security of what God offers you, you won't want to sin. You'll be miserable to sin. You can't stand to sin. And if you do, God will deal with your heart and bring you back. So as we close, that's the invitation. If you're not saved, I ask you to come forward. I'd love to talk to you. I'd love to have somebody to talk to you about your salvation. If you are saved, I pray that you would hold on to these beliefs and understanding about eternal security. So at this point, Pastor, I'll turn it over to you.